Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Whoa. Is this Marcus in the darkest?
It is Marcus in the darkest.
Hot damn. How's it going, buddy?
Not bad. How you doing, Scott?
Very good, thank you.
Good. Rob, we have met over the years. I've been in Denver and here in Philadelphia. You've met thousands of radio people, so I hope to be able to shake your hand when you guys come to town together.
Right on, man. I'll see what I can do.
Alrighty, I look forward to seeing you guys when you play as well. You guys are going to be doing 22 dates in about 35 days together. How did the Stone Temple Pilots Rival Sons tour come to be?
I think we must have just been begging and begging. Sending lots of gifts and, like, you know, treats over. I knock on Robert's door every day. And
I think the manager got all those treats and everything. I never saw anything.
Yeah, that sounds like a manager thing to do.
Took all the goods, right?
Yeah, they don't want to do it. The candies aren't good. I think this came through to me. It came through my manager. Actually, they said this was a proposition we were all thinking about doing, and we immediately responded and said, "This sounds like a really amazing, wonderful thing to do." As we've been fans of these guys forever, and it was that easy.
We are very huge fans of Rival Sons.
Oh, shucks! Come on.
Seriously, when this came about, we were very excited about doing this.
I think the first time we met was actually for the WMM barbecue.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
I went back to your guys' dressing room, and it was, Chester was with you guys, bless him. And I told the guys, I'm just going to go knock on the door because I really like these guys. I just want to say hi and whatever. And I walked in, and you guys, like, knew who I was. And I remember thinking, really? How do you know who I am? I mean, I don't know.
Because we dig your music, man. That's why.
I guess so. Okay. So it was really warm and really great. I think we had hoped in our hearts that maybe something like this would come about. And here it is.
The fans of rock and roll are lucky that the two of you guys are going to be doing a tour together because it's a great double bill. You're playing a legendary venue in Philly called the Metropolitan Opera House, which Live Nation redid. The acoustics are fantastic. It is going to be a fun, fun night of rock and roll, and we're looking forward to it. Rob, this question is for you. You have been doing a tour. You did an album with your new vocalist, Jeff Coote. How has the band grown as a band during this last year, year and a half, doing the album and then doing all these live dates together?
Well, you know, it's simple. Everyone just shows up, and I think that's really basically what you need to do with anything in life is just show up.
It's like the gym.
Yeah.
Half the battle is just showing up.
Are you that disciplined with your workout?
With the gym? No. Oh, no, but I mean, all of us in the group are healthy and have a pretty decent regimen.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
You kind of got to be.
Yeah, especially as the years go on.
The aging is happening. The ages are getting you.
Yeah. We're hoping that this tour we're about to embark on lasts hopefully through the year. We should probably just keep on going.
I like it.
I like that too.
I like that, man. Fun. We'll see.
Scott, you guys just did a leg in Europe. You played a legendary old gladiator arena in France. What was it like playing the Arena de Nimes as a venue and with all that history and all that kind of weird energy and cool energy behind it?
Yeah, it's amazing. That was actually our second time we played it. We played it this time, I think, with Slash, right? That was that
one.
And then the time before, we were coming through with Lenny Kravitz, and it's insane. It's really, really one of the joys of touring to play somewhere like this and see history like that and feel like this is cool. We're playing this is like a museum, playing inside something that's so legendary and these giant doorways and archways and massive stones, and it's really actually super exciting.
Your first album with Jeff came out at the end of January. Has the band, since you've been on the road together, been writing new music and continuing to do that type of stuff when you've been on the road?
Absolutely. It always comes out on the road, actually. It's a great environment to be missing people or just being away from what you're usually around. And usually for me personally, I mean, there's no real rules to writing music. But for me personally, it's always a great environment to be in to write new music, yes. So we've been writing a lot of new music.
I find on the road, it's cool. For me, the road is always like two parts. The first part is if you have new material, it's like you're perfecting the show and the new material. But then the second part is you can feel, because you're playing the older tunes, and then you're playing the new tunes, and you start to have this very innate built-in feeling for what needs to be there. And that's how you start writing.
Yep.
Yeah. So you go, you know what? We do this, we do that, we got our, like, you know, roundhouse kick, we got our flying kick, we got a punch in the stomach. This is what we're missing, and you start, like, filling in the gaps.
It's a lot easier to say one word, life, in a British accent. You know, you got to repeat that in a British accent.
Life. Life.
Life. I'm going to have to use that as a sound bit, you saying life with a British accent.
You know, I think the bottom line is we all just want to play. Isn't that it?
I would agree.
Were you surprised that 30-plus years later you're still doing what you absolutely love doing and doing it the way you're doing it?
Absolutely. I feel grateful every day, and every day that I wake up, I think I don't have to get a real job yet. It's really an amazing feeling to know that. I feel honored and very humbled by, you know, I want to thank everyone for listening to our music. I think that's really the bottom line of having the freedom and being able to create for a living, something that I'm really humbled by.
Have you always felt, both of you felt, that you create for yourselves and for each other, like your bands, and then it goes out from there?
I only create for Robert.
So does that make me a muse?
I think so.
A muse. Right.
What can people expect on this tour? Are you going to be rotating early and late sets throughout the tour?
We're opening. I'm just saying that right here, right now.
All right, because
we're playing together.
Okay.
We're playing together. We're having a great night of music. No matter who is playing first, we're having a great night of rock and roll.
All right, because usually when they do the co-headline announcement, it's usually they rotate each night.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like when you have roadies, and, you know, I've always been in the habit of saying they work with us, not for us. So I think it's the same thing. No one's really opening. We're having a great night of rock and roll, and I hope everyone's there to experience it.
There's going to be some nights where we're going to open for these fellas, and there's going to be some nights where they close for us. That's how it's going to go.
It's too early for that kind of humor.
Listen, I know you guys have a lot of other phone calls to do today, but I thank you very much for your time. We look forward to seeing you in Philly at the Met on September 19th. A great night of rock and roll. Anything y'all want to say to Philly before we hang up?
Man, love Philly.
We love you, Philly. We got a Philly native in our keyboard player, Todd.
Absolutely.
And Philly just feels special because of that. Every time we come through, it's one of the special cities. We love you, Philly, and we love you guys at WMMR. So let's say hello when we get in.
We'll definitely make sure we come and see you guys. I'm hoping that this is the first concert I get to bring my little guy to.
Oh, great, man.
I think we finally got my wife to give in.
He's probably too big now, but, you know, I was going to say, you know what I want him to be wearing? You sent me a picture.
He's going to get one. He's going to get a new one before the show.
You put him in the jumper, dude.
I can't put him in the jumper. He can't fit his head around it. He's got one of them big heads and big ears.
He's a smart boy.
I know. We're in trouble.
But that head has its own weather system.
Yeah, tell me about it. It rains up there like you would not believe once
like
in a while.
Like an orange on a toothpick.
All righty.
Growing up in New Jersey, man, listened to WMMR a lot growing up, and one of the thank you guys, and I know I speak on Scott's behalf too. Thank you for all the love you guys have given us.
Of course.
Yeah, bless you.
All righty. Well, listen, have a great day, gentlemen. We'll see you soon, and thank you again for the conversation. Have a great one.
See you, bub.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.